when we go to the doctor and we don't like the doctor, we don't like the hospital, we go somewhere else if our insurance allows it, somewhere where we will get the treatment that we want. Or even with our house, if we don't like our house or we don't like where we're living or we're tired of our job, sometimes we just pick up and if we're able to, we move and we go somewhere else where we like where we're at. And unfortunately, even in relationships, a lot of times we see this in our society that if you don't like your spouse, things aren't good anymore, you go get a different one, don't you? And it causes all kinds of problems. And the problem with this is that we bring this mentality into the church as well. It may work in the business world because it forces doctors and it forces businesses to work hard to satisfy the customers. Otherwise, they'll lose their customers and they'll lose the business. But when we come into church, we have this consumer mentality where our whole goal is to be served or to have a certain idea of a product that we should be getting, it causes problems. It makes us wishy-washy. When people get upset or something's hard at church or they don't like something that's been said either from the pulpit or leadership or even another member of the church, people go to another church where they don't have to deal with it. It's the same consumer mentality, and that's not what we're supposed to have as Christians. So today is this first sermon in this new year. I'm going to kind of challenge what our mentality toward church should be. I'm going to specifically focus on what it should not be today. This is part one of two sermons, so that we're going to focus more on the negative today. We'll have 2 points. We'll see what the church is not and what that means that we should stop doing. Today we'll be mostly in 1 Corinthians, if you want to turn there and mark that in your Bibles. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 1 to start with. It'll also be on the screens behind me. But 1 Corinthians was a letter written by Paul to the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth had many problems, all kinds of problems. And he spends much of the letter dealing with those problems, addressing the problems going on in the church. And then in 2 Corinthians, the letter after this, there are still problems he's addressing. The church at Corinth was a kind of dysfunctional church. So the first point I want to make before we begin reading our passage is this. Church is not primarily about you, but it's about glorifying God. Church is not primarily about you, but it's about glorifying God. Now, certainly when you come to church, you should have opportunities to grow in your faith, and you should be being exposed to biblical teaching, and hopefully there's things profitable to your own life. That's a part of church, that's a part of ministry, that's a part of what we're doing. But the primary goal of church is not about that. It's not about being served. It's not about being a consumer and what you can get out of church. That's not primarily what we're doing or why we come even to worship. It's about the Lord and about glorifying Him. This means one thing that I see a problem in our society with this consumer mentality is that people tend to follow pastors rather than the Lord or even church. So that means that if we drop this consumer mentality, that church is not about following a pastor that we like. And we see this, is where we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. And we see something very similar going on here in the church in Corinth. Paul writes this, he says, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' or 'I follow Apollos,' or 'I follow Cephas,' or 'I follow Christ.'" And then let's flip over to chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Says this, "For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos.' Are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you've believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth." So what we have here, it reveals a problem going on in the church at Corinth. They had different factions. So some people were saying, you know, I follow Paul. I love his teaching. I am a disciple of Paul. Others were saying, I'm a disciple of Apollos. I like Apollos better. And others say, I'm a follower of Peter. I like him better. And some say, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus. So they were divided even to the point of following an apostle rather than Jesus. And so Paul says, wait a second, this is not what it's about. What I preach, what Apollos preaches, what Peter preaches, all of us are preaching to the glory of Jesus. It's the same message. It's to follow Jesus. It's not so that we as apostles have followers or make a name for ourselves. You've got it all wrong. You're being spiritually immature. So he's addressing that problem. And this is not unlike how people in churches today follow pastors. I can see it in the church in Corinth. It could be something very similar to what happens today. Some are saying, you know, I follow Paul. I love his teaching. He gets deeply theological. He unpacks the text of the Old Testament very well. There's things that I'd never seen there before in the way he teaches and preaches. His speaking may not be the best, but I like Paul. Paul's the one I'm following. He presents theology the best. I'm a follower of Paul. And others say, no, I'm a follower of Apollos. See, Apollos speaks really gently. He speaks very applicationally. He speaks right into my life. He encourages me. He gives me right what I need for every week. I like Apollos. I'm only coming to church when Apollos is in town. And others say, no, I like Peter. I don't like Apollos. I don't like Paul. Peter, he just bluntly speaks the truth. He speaks biblical truth, whether you like it or not. He's politically incorrect. I like Peter. He doesn't pull back any punches. I'm only coming to church when Peter's in town, right? This is very similar to what we see now. We have people who, rather than being invested in church and in the ministry of that church, they come to church to follow the pastor because they like what the pastor preaches, they like the demeanor of the pastor, and that's why they come to church. And so if something happens, if the pastor leaves, if the pastor retires, whatever happens, then they leave, and they, if they can, follow the pastor, or they go to another church where they find a pastor who gives them what they're looking for in preaching. But that's treating church with a consumer mentality. That's coming, and your only purpose for coming is for what you can get out of the sermon. Now, it's not bad to like your pastor. I'm a pastor. I like to be liked. I hope there's some here who like me and like the ministry that's going on. So there's nothing wrong with that. But it's a problem if the whole purpose for coming to a church is to follow a specific pastor. And then when that pastor's gone, you have nothing left in the church to give or no business left to give in the church. That's a problem. That's viewing things with this consumer mentality. A church is not a shrine for a pastor, but it's about Jesus. All the pastors should be doing what the apostles were doing. We're all preaching, maybe in different styles, maybe focusing on different things in the Bible, but all for the glory of Christ. That's who we're supposed to be following. Now, it's one thing if you are leaving because you don't like the style of the pastor or whatever, kind of doing it with the consumer mentality. But there is a problem if your pastor is not preaching biblical truth or if they're preaching something that's heretical, or then that's a problem. Maybe we should leave. But if that's not going on, then we need to make sure that we're not having this consumer mentality and just coming to see what we can get from the sermons or from the pastor or the relationship that we have with the pastor. Another thing that's important to note that we need to do to kind of look out for this consumer mentality is to avoid treating church where we treat it where it's our happy place, where that's the point of church, is we kind of throw the world aside, we come to church, and it's our place to be happy and kind of pretend like the problems of the world aren't there. Now, it's not a bad thing to be happy at church. There is a problem if you come to church and you're just always miserable and there's nothing happy going on. Hopefully, church is an encouragement. Hopefully, church is a place where you feel happy. But that is not the primary purpose for church, and that is not the primary ministry. We're not all about making people happy. Now, one of the local Christian radio stations in town, I can't remember the name of it. I want to say every town, every area has one, so the one I can remember is the one from Peoria, Illinois. But they're positive and encouraging, right? And they have the Christian music that's on there, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's a part of the gospel, that's a part of ministry, is encouragement and hope, and that's certainly there. And if that's not there, then we're not preaching the totality of Scripture. But they always, I heard an advertisement on the radio where they say, we're always encouraging, always about hope, there's nothing discouraging, nothing harmful going on. Well, that's good for their ministry. But as a church, We're not this happy place that's all about encouragement and being happy, because the reality is maturing in our faith, growing, involves things that are not always happy. It's just like growing up with your physical body. Going through puberty is not comfortable, is it? For those of you who remember that. And if we're growing in our spiritual walk, there's things that come across that are not comfortable. Like we're convicted, right, of sin. We're called to repent of sin. We're called to do things, to sacrifice of ourselves for other people. That's not comfortable. That's not always a happy place. It doesn't always make us think, oh, goody, I'm so excited I get to do this and put my plans on the back burner and serve somebody in this way. Sometimes it's not all about happy. And so we need to watch out for that as well. And one thing that happens all the time that I think suffers from this consumer mentality is this idea that we don't reconcile with one another. I think lack of reconciliation is one of the biggest things that suffers as a result of our consumer mentality. We don't reconcile with those who offend us. And it's again because church is our happy place. If someone says something that offends us, makes us unhappy, we've done something to offend somebody else, it's uncomfortable to talk with them about it. It's uncomfortable to ask for forgiveness. It's uncomfortable to do something that makes conflict or make it clear that we're disagreeing with somebody else. But we need to do that. 1 Corinthians 6:7, it's not on the screen behind me. I'm just going to read it really quickly. And it's in our bylaws as a church as well, talking about lawsuits among believers. It says this. Paul says, again, addressing another problem in the church in Corinth, "The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you've been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated?" So apparently, in the Corinthian church, one problem that was going on is that certain believers were suing other believers for some reason. We don't know what was going on, but there was conflict. It's not getting resolved in the church. It's not getting resolved among the church leadership or anything. It's breaking out into the civil arena. And Paul says, you know, this infighting that has become outward fighting with the whole world watching is not good. You need to stop doing that. You need to reconcile with one another, keep it in-house, and you should be mature enough to reconcile. Because if the people of God, the children of God, if we don't reconcile with one another when there's problems, how are we to expect anybody in the world to do that or see how they reconcile with everybody else? Because God has reconciled us with himself. And so we need to practice the same thing and reconcile with those who have wronged us in the church or offend us in the church. Colossians 3:13-14, again, not on the screens behind me, but I'll read it real briefly, says this. It says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity." We are to forgive and we are to love one another. We shouldn't run away from problems and conflicts and just leave the church because we've been offended. That demonstrates spiritual immaturity. You know, my mom was telling me a story about someone that I don't really know them, but it's a story she was telling me about a couple people in a church. And these two ladies, not in leadership in the church or anything like that, just two ladies who go to a church, started talking one Sunday about immigration, just a common political issue, and they came to discover that they disagreed about what they thought about immigration. And so as a result of this conversation, it wasn't a blow up, there weren't fisticuffs, there wasn't anything like that. It was just a discussion and they disagreed on their stance. One lady left the church because she couldn't be in a church with somebody who thought differently than she did about immigration. Now, that is a big problem. That demonstrates a complete consumer mentality, a complete happy place theology, as I'll call it, where she came to church, somebody thought differently than she did on an issue, it made her uncomfortable, so she was leaving and going someplace where she didn't have to deal with it. There was no reconciliation, there was no, well, you know, in a family, you're going to have people that disagree with things, it's okay. There was none of this. It was, I don't feel happy here anymore. Something negative happened. Somebody disagreed with me. I'm leaving. I'm going somewhere else. And we shouldn't do that. That's that consumer American mentality, where if somebody offends us, if something bad happens, we think, you know what? I don't have to deal with this. I can easily go to another church down the road. There's plenty of churches in town, good churches, good preaching. I'll just go somewhere else. I don't need to deal with this. I'll go somewhere where I'm appreciated. In other words, basically that translates to maturing in my spiritual walk or helping others mature in their spiritual walk is hard. Reconciling is hard. I don't want to deal with it. Church is my happy place. I'd rather just go where it's easy and comfortable rather than grow in my own faith. And that's not good. That's, again, this consumer mentality where it's all about what we can receive, not about what we can do in church. We simply don't reconcile. And that causes all kinds of problems in church and even outside of church in our own relationships. And then the other thing we're not to do as well is anything that harms our brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, 27 through 33 reveals this, if you'll turn there with me. Starting in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul writes this. If one of the unbelievers invites you to dinner and you're disposed to go, eat whatever is set before you without raising any question on the ground of conscience. But if someone says to you, "This has been offered in sacrifice," then do not eat it, for the sake of the one who informed you and for the sake of conscience. I do not mean your conscience, but his. For why should my liberty be determined by someone else's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of that for which I give thanks? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And give no offense to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. So here what's going on. Get another picture into the church of Corinth. Paul is saying that if an unbeliever invited a Christian to eat, the Christian shouldn't raise a question of conscience about where this food came from. Because what would happen at this time is certain meat that you would buy in the market had been dedicated or blessed to some pagan deity. And so some people, some believers in God, had problems with that. They thought you shouldn't eat that meat. It was tainted or it was unholy or it would be a sin to eat that in some way. And Paul explains in chapter 8 of 1 Corinthians, he says, you know, idols are nothing. You don't have to worry about the idols. Idols are just metal. They're wood. If something's been dedicated to an idol, it's not cursed. It's still meat. You can eat it. It's okay. But what he's saying here is if you get offered meat, and you're eating at someone's house or you're somewhere and somebody else, another believer probably, says, oh, watch out for that meat. I think that was offered to a pagan god. I don't know about that. He says, you shouldn't eat that meat. Even though you have perfect Christian liberty to eat that meat, to go ahead and do it, you shouldn't eat it for the sake of that person's conscience because it will lead them into sin. And in the same way, we don't necessarily have a problem with meat being offered to idols here in our society today, but just as the case with them, so we in our own lives, we need to avoid doing things that harms our brothers or sisters in Christ and leads them into sin, even if it means depriving ourselves of some of our Christian liberty that we are free to do. This might mean that we give up maybe drinking in front of other Christians that might have a problem with that we don't watch certain movies or shows in front of other Christians that might have a problem with that we just refrain from anything that would cause them offense. Not because, again, as Paul says, not because of our own conscience, not because we don't have perfect liberty to do so, but for the sake of them and leading them into sin or making them do something that they feel is wrong. He says we need to look out for our brothers and sisters in Christ. If it'll harm our brothers and sisters in Christ, refrain. But if we're on our own, then go ahead and do it. We need to look out for our brothers and sisters, not just about ourselves, not just this consumer idea where, you know, look, I feel like this is okay to do. I can look in the Bible and show that it's okay to do, so I'm going to do it. I don't care what he or she thinks. I don't care if he or she thinks it's a sin. I'm free to do it, and I'm going to do it in front of them anyway, even just to spite them, right? Not a good idea. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul is saying we're to look out for our brother and sister in Christ, and he addresses this in other letters as well. We're not to do things that lead them into sin. So that leads me to our main application for today, and the second main point is that we need to stop viewing the primary reason for going to church as making us feel good. It's certainly not bad to come to church and to feel good, to feel encouraged. That's a good thing. If church is your happy place, that's good. I'm happy about that. That is a good thing. But as sometimes happens in church, and the reality is if you're with sinful people things are going to happen that upset you. People are going to do things that wrong you. People are going to say things that you disagree with. And it's not going to be a complete happy place. The suns are going to stop shining. The clouds are going to move in. And it's not going to feel all happy-go-lucky, skip, let's sing a musical. It's not all that all the time. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that the church is broken or that you need to go find a church that is happy because they know the truth of the gospel better than another church. The reality is every church is full of sinful people. And every church has things that happen that offend people. People do things and sin against other people. It's a reality. So when that happens, we need to reconcile. We need to see it as an opportunity to grow spiritually into Christ and help others grow in their own relationship with Christ. Spiritual growth is usually uncomfortable. It usually doesn't just come by being happy and doing what's comfortable and what's easy. Usually we have to sacrifice for it. So if your dedication level to your church is similar to your dedication level to your favorite restaurant or your hairstylist, then you're viewing church as a consumer, and we need to watch out for that. We need to focus this new year, check our minds, think, how am I thinking about church? Am I coming to church strictly for what I can get? Am I making it all about me and what services are provided to me? Or is it more complex than that? Am I coming to grow and then also grow through service or through glorifying the Lord? What is my goal here? Is it about me or is it about God? And that's what we need to challenge ourselves with. Because a Christian are not... we're not to be consumers. Our identity when we come into church is not consumers. We need to leave that at the door. We are, and this is your kind of preview into next week's sermon, we are to be servants, not consumers. So that means that church is not primarily about us. And it means that it's not about finding the best pastor or preacher we can find or even about finding our own personal happiness. What we need to do then is to stop having feeling good as our primary motivation for coming to church, but making it about others and about the Lord. And we'll talk more about that next week. So let's go ahead and close in prayer.